That's one of my favorite songs. I appreciate Miss Linda singing that tonight. And if you would, in your Bibles this evening, turn to 1 Thessalonians. I was thinking about the message tonight and was planning on preaching short to let you guys get out and let us get out and play. But since we can't now, we'll just stay here and preach a little while. Nobody? Everybody's good? Amen. I appreciate those who worked hard to put the field all together. I know Brother Stone and Eli and Caleb and others worked hard to get the field ready. Kai worked a little bit this afternoon, like for 10 minutes, but he wants all the credit. But anyway, worked hard and appreciate these guys. So next Sunday night, everybody, we'll try it, I think. We'll try it. All right? I'll try to speak up. It's like preaching in a tin barn. All we need is some sawdust on the floor. We'd be good, wouldn't it? Look at 1 Thessalonians. Let's go ahead and just read a little bit here. Verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we need grace from. We talked about this morning. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. I again remind you, I wonder how big Paul's prayer list was. Every time you hear Paul talking about, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you, I imagine Paul had to pray for several hours every day to pray for the prayer list he had. He said, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Notice the list here. He says, I remember your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So remember now, Paul did not spend very long in Thessalonica. He spent a short time there, probably just a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And because of the contention there, had to leave. But it's amazing as he writes back to that church, he talks about their reputation. He says, I remember of your work of faith, and I remember your labor of love and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And here's what I want you to see. So that ye are examples, or in samples, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. What a reputation this church had. Just a very short time Paul had to spend there, and yet that church got set on fire of the Holy Ghost and became a force there in that area. And all that area knew of this church and knew of its work, its labor of love, and its work of faith, its patience of love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for your love. Pray that you bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. Lord, help us again to have the reputation as a church of being a kind, compassionate, soul-winning church. In Jesus' name, amen. A church needs direction. A church needs direction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul speaks of his own reputation. He says, ye are our epistles in our hearts, known and read of all men. He said, you, the ones we witness to, the ones there in Corinth, ye are our epistles. Ye are a witness to our testimony. You are a witness to our labor and what we've done there. And so a church needs direction. It needs a biblical direction. A ship without a rudder will have plenty of days of smooth sailing, but will get nowhere and accomplish nothing. A church needs direction. As I've said before, we have our marching orders. Everyone in here knows our marching orders. And we're not going to go just beat that in the ground tonight. But our marching orders are the Great Commission. Amen? To go out and preach the gospel to every creature. To win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. To wet them. That means get them in the baptistry. And the old time preachers used to say worm them, but we won't go into that. Win them, wed them, and then work them. Disciple and teach them all things whatsoever commanded you. And so that is our purpose as a church. That is what unites us. That is our direction. Now, there are many things under that. And as I said this morning from the pulpit, I enjoy fellowship. I enjoy what we're about to do. And getting around and eating and fellowshipping together. But it's not the main thing. The main thing is the winning of souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is having compassion, snatching them out of hell, as Jude talks about. And so we as a church need to continually be reminded, I need to be reminded, of our direction. Amen? All I wanted to say tonight was, keep doing what you're doing, but do a little more than you're doing. Do a little more. Pick up the cost. I love this morning, we had one of our new couples who are new to the church and recently even saved. Bring a visitor this morning. A neighbor. That's what it's about, folks. It's not just about Tuesday night and Saturday morning. It's about a neighbor asking you, where do y'all go to church? Amen? And you having that type of testimony says, yes, here's where I go. And by the way, I like my church. Won't you come go with me? Amen? And having that type of testimony. The church has a responsibility. The church must take on that responsibility. Now, every church takes on a personality as well. Well, as I was raised in church, every church I knew about had a particular reputation. The church I worked in, the very first church I worked in as a youth pastor, that particular church had a reputation of being a mission church. They supported missions very heavily. They ran about 120, 130. I was there about a year and a half. We got up running maybe 150. And this has been 17 years ago. They supported missions over about $60,000. This is a country church, too, in Bowie, Texas. I mean, but they had a reputation of being a mission-minded church. I think of one of my professors over in Arlington. If I name the name, most of you would know him. A church over there, specifically known for the testimony of being a soul-winning church. But that's what they're known for. I think about other churches. But other churches have personalities. Some are known for their size. Some are known for their bus ministries. You think about Brother Hiles, and some of you may know who that is, up in Hammond, Indiana, for years had the largest bus ministry in the world. I mean, they would run like 10,000 on the buses. It's amazing. Some were known for the bus ministry. Some churches are known for their buildings. Man, there's some pretty buildings around, right? So I look at that building. That's a pretty building. Some churches are known for their buildings. Some churches are known for their friendliness. Amen. That's a good attribute to have. Some are known for their music. Some are known for their preaching. The First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, when J. Frank Norris was the pastor, was known for its preaching. J. Frank Norris was a preacher and was an amazing preacher. If you go on the internet, you can type his name in. You can still find some of his preaching on the internet. You'd be amazed. He's an amazing preacher. Some are known for their senior programs, their missions programs. Some churches are known for their wealth or their prestige or the people that are there, or the pastor. Some are known for their singles group. Some are known for their radio ministry. We especially have some today known for their TV ministries, right? Right? So every church kind of has a personality. Every church kind of does have a testimony, whether good or bad. But everyone has a personality, a testimony. Now, what's crucial, I believe, as your pastor, is to say that we want many of these attributes in our own church. We want to be known as a soul-winning church. Amen? I do. I want to be known as a mission-minded church, and we are. I want to be known as a friendly church, and we are. I want our church to be known for its music. Amen? It's a blessing. God's given us a lot of talent here in the church. I want our church to be known for its teen programs, its senior programs. If you just go down the list, I want to see our church be known for these things. I believe the crucial thing is balance. Balance. It's a word not used in independent Baptist circles very much. At least in the past it wasn't. But today we need balance. We need balance. We want our church to be known as a loving, compassionate, soul-winning church. I know this is a very little thing, but I called yesterday the man over the Sports Association here in Haslett. I asked him, I said, we are going to have our softball tournament tomorrow night. I need a little machine that does the chalk lines. Can I borrow it? Small thing. He said, sure. I said, well, can you, how do I get it? He said, here's the combination. Gave me the combination. I mean, I could go break in and do whatever I want to down there, I guess now. But, and then the comment was back to me was, and I talked to three or four of those guys who are part of that association. The comment back to me was, thank you for letting us use your field for the Haslett kids to play and to practice on. We don't have to do those things. But we want a testimony in the community that we love our community. We're reaching out to our community. We're a part of this community. And to let some kids come down and kill some of our grass is a great thing. You know, I think about, man, it's going to get real loud in just a second. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
I'll talk real loud. Anybody hear me now?
Turn this one on. Turn this one off. Turn this one on. Testing. Oh, man. We can blow it out of here now. But I know Brother Clint Garrett and Brother Brother Pointer and the guy back there sitting, Brother Smith, Mark Smith, many of our own kids played on the practice on these fields. It's going to be loud. Everybody hear me? Being a part of the community, having that testimony that we are a part of the community, putting our float in the parade, being a part of the community, is, I think, a vital part of the ministry here. And not isolating ourselves, but making ourselves available to the community. We've allowed the city council to meet in our buildings and do various things. And we want to be available to the community. Amen. Balance is crucial. Our reputation is crucial. The cause of Jesus Christ is at stake. The cause of winning souls is at stake. Our reputation will help the cause, or it can hurt the cause. And we certainly want to be a church where the reputation of being compassionate, loving, gracious, and kind. We are read of all men, Paul said. We are read of all men. The church's testimony becomes a reflection of its personality. You know, what will our church be known for? By the way, I preached this almost this very same message when we started the church. And I asked the same question almost nine years ago. What kind of church will we be? What personality will we take on? We do not write our own agenda as a church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. I'm going to turn over there and read it. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Who are they? They were ministers. They were servants. Listen, the Bible over and over again refers to us as servants of the Lord Jesus. Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus. We are servants of Christ. We are to minister to others. We're to be servants to others. And we want to have a reputation of being servants. Servants obey. They obey the Master. They obey the Word of God. They listen and obey the Word of the Lord. Christ will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, we know that Christ is going to build His church. Amen? Our job is to go out and to sow the seed. But it's God, it's Christ who gives the increase. In due season you shall reap if you faint not. I got to thinking this morning as I was thinking tonight, 2 years ago, why did things seemingly just, I mean, I'm telling you, it's like the light came on. Why? We hadn't done anything different. We're doing what we've always done. Why would that happen? In due season you shall reap if you faint not. Let me tell you, those of you been here a while, maybe since the beginning, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You stay faithful, and God will be faithful to you. It seems to come up a lot here lately in my preaching, but also in my devotional time. I continue to see that reoccurring theme as I think about the Lord, His faithfulness to us. In due season you shall reap if you faint not. God, as the church is faithful to the Lord, He blesses. And we see that happening now. Paul clearly recognized the ownership of the church by Christ. He said, ye are God's building. This is God's building, physically speaking, but you are God's building. I am God's building. Building up that spiritual house.
The church must be built by Christ. It will be built by Christ. Love this rain. We need it bad. If we were to change our methods, our means, if we were to change our means and our methods right now, and do some other things that other churches do, I think within just a few weeks, this place would just be, we wouldn't have enough places to sit. There's some things we could do to entertain some people to, I mean, God has blessed us with a ton of talent. I used to say this all the time, Mr. Bird and Miss Linda, I remember saying it. I said, if we wanted to go contemporary as a church, we could do it tomorrow and we could do a better job than most because we have the talent here in the church to do it. But that's not what I want our testimony and reputation to be. Amen? I don't want that to be the personality we take on as a church. To build a church like we have takes the Lord. To build an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist church like we have, it's the Lord. Still hear me? Love this new sound system. Those on the internet, it's raining cats and dogs outside. The church must be built with caution. The church must be built with caution. I tell you what, there's a lot of nonsense going out there on today in churches. A lot of nonsense. We need to be careful about what direction we take as a church. And let's hold the banner high by way of our music, keeping our music Bible-based and godly and righteous and pure. Keeping our dress standards where they ought to be. Let me just address that real quick. And again, it's church family here tonight, if you can hear me. Let's be careful how we dress. I know tonight we're a little laid back because of the softball game. But let's be careful how we dress. When we come to the house of God, we ought to come to the house of God with respect in order to worship Him. Let's be careful how we dress. And we ought to put on our Sunday best. Amen? Sunday morning, we ought to put on what we got. Now, if that's jeans and a t-shirt for you, that's wonderful. But wear your best. Wear your best. Ladies, I encourage you to dress up on Sunday mornings. Just dress up. Come all pretty. Not that you're not pretty now. Don't mean that. But come with your dress on. Come dressed up. Men, come with your best on. Let's have that reputation. I visited a family yesterday. One of the first things they said was, man, y'all all dress up there. Sure we do. And you know what their comment was? We like that. This is a young couple. Kind of surprised me. So we go to all those other churches and people come in with their shorts and flip-flops on, you know? Like they come out of a beach resort or something. Listen, we ought to come to the house of God with our best on. If you have to go down to Bass Hall, downtown Fort Worth, you have to dress up to go down there. If you would dress up to go to Bass Hall, why wouldn't you dress up to come to church? And I've used this before too. If you would dress up to go to a funeral to respect the dead, why wouldn't you come and respect God on a Sunday morning and dress up there as well? Amen? And let's come to the house of God. I'm just telling you, we need to be careful. There's caution when building a church that the reputation we have is very important. The testimony we have is very important. We need the right bricks, the right doctrine. We need Bible-based doctrine. Jesus Christ is the master builder. He's the architect building the church. We are simply the material. Still hear me? Preach on. Speak up. See if this will work big enough. This is really what I wanted to do tonight. Can you hear this one, Emmy? Other one better?